Okay, it's going.
I just want to share some thoughts before I preach. I think it's been a really good day. This morning was excellent. We had a good crowd. We had visitors. And anyone who heard the message this morning, I can't visualize how they could assume this all just happened. It was just a step by step by step by step, as the scripture so well does, to the birth of Christ. A marvelous morning. And then at the nursing home, I think we had probably the biggest crowd we've had in a long time. And Danny brought a great wasn't. And then last of all, I want to tell the preacher, as senior, as older than the preacher, I think I can tell him, you're going to sing for us a lot more than you have been. Okay? You hear me?
I'll add that to my job description.
Yeah, that's part of your description. That was really great. I enjoyed the whole thing. But you have got a God-given voice. There's no question about it. That's really a blessing. Okay, I had this for Carolyn. It's in my notes. I'll just leave it here so I don't forget it. It's for her bulletin next time. I'll put it on her desk. I want you to turn in the Bible to Revelation chapter 4. Fourth chapter of the last book. Yeah, but this won't be very long. Get out a little bit early. I'm going to read the fourth chapter. It's just 11 verses long. I want you to listen. After this, I looked, and behold, the door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I'll show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit. And behold, the throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. Round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes, before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, second beast like a calf, third beast like had a face like a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about them. They were full of eyes within. They rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Now, there's a lot of symbolism here. I don't want to get into the beast and the eyes and all that. I want to get into the elders. Notice what it says. The elders fell on their faces and threw their crowns at the feet of the one on the throne. Here we're told John looked. John is observing something. John looked. One of the things he saw was the Lord's throne. Around the Lord's throne were 24 seats. And on those 24 seats sat 24 elders with golden crowns on their heads. The word elders here denotes church officials or presbyters, if you will, holy priests of the church, body of Christ. Verse 10 of our text presents us this truth that was revealed to John. The high officials of the church, the living body of Jesus Christ, fell down before him and worshiped him. What does that say to you about the position of the elders of the church? Anything? Further, they cried out his worthiness, his glory, and his honor, really, that they were created by him for his own pleasure. Why do you suppose this is included in the revelation of John? I'll tell you what I think, okay? I have wrestled with this for a number of years, with all the varieties of so-called religions in the world today. It's very easy for the lost to become not only confused, but also doubtful about the salvation that we profess as ours. In this month's issue of the Banner of Truth, the Reverend Ian Hamilton, the pastor of Cambridge Presbyterian Church in Cambridge, England, believes it is time for believers to stop calling themselves Calvinists or Reformed or Old Church and begin calling themselves Christians. I want you to think. I could hardly believe this when I read it, because this very fact is what I have been wrestling with for several years, many years, really. Denominations, theological labels, and sectarianism is quite possibly a great enigma to those who are lost. Lost people. One of the saddest questions I have often been asked over a fairly long ministry is this one. What kind of Baptist are you anyway? Yeah, but would anybody ever ask that? What kind of Baptist are you? Now that's an interesting thing to think about. kind of Baptist are you, preacher? I know I want to go to three passages of Scripture found in the New Testament. The first one is Romans chapter 1. Some of you may be already ahead of me on this, but we'll go there anyway. I can find it here. All right, I begin reading with verse 13. And there's a word here that jumps out at me. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposely come to you, but was less hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you, also even as among other Gentiles. I am better, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And the word that jumps out at me is ignorant. Paul says, I would not have you ignorant. And I say, in the churches of today, there is much ignorance about this book. From the pulpit, as well as from the pew. Now that's a bold statement, I know. Maybe that's good that we have so few here tonight. Possible. But I want us to think about these things. I want us to think about them. The idea here, you know, is what kind of preacher, what kind of Baptist am I? Here the Apostle Paul emphasizes the very core of Christianity. First, the ignorance of sinful mankind. And then in verse 17, the six words that were the seeds Martin Luther relied on to start the Great Reformation, which returned those who believed in the faith. Jude once spoke of in his warning to the church of his day. Remember what Jude said? Let's go there. Jude chapter 1. You can probably even recite the words, but let's go and read them. Here's Jude speaking to the early church, the infant church, the infant body of Christians. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now, why am I bringing that up? As much of what is being preached today, that which was first delivered unto the saints. Would you say yes? Or would you say, perhaps not? Just something to think about. That's all. I think it's very easy for the lost to become not only confused, but also doubtful about the salvation we profess as ours. In this month's issue, I spoke about what the Scotch pastor said. Denominations, theological labors, sectarianism is quite possibly a great enigma to the lost. One of the saddest questions I have been asked is, what kind of a Baptist are you? Now here, Paul emphasizes that word, ignorance. Now I want us to think about, even the young struggling church Jude was warning was straying from the declaration of Paul to the Roman church just a few years later. Amen? Beware of these people. Watch these people. Listen to what they say. The third reminder of true Christianity is found in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, which stresses the importance of this faith Paul speaks of in Romans, and Jude warns them to keep in his letter. Hebrews. I know we studied this some time back, several years ago, but I want us to listen to a long reading. Chapter 11. You might say, well, he's doing this because he didn't want to write a lot of stuff. But that's not the case. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, was not found because God had translated him, but before his translation he had his testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark, the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abram, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receiving an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, was delivered a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even to one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky, a multitude, and as the sand which by the sea shore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they had come out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he received the promises offered up in his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Does this sound a little bit like some of what we talked about this morning? Isn't that interesting? Man, we never even talk about this, did you? Accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in the figure. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons Joseph and worshiped, learning with the top of the staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months from his parents because he saw he was a prophet child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect and the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was invisible. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest it be destroyed, firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do would drown. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and Barak, and Samson, and Joseph, David also, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in the fight, turned to flight the enemies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had the trial of cruel mockings and scourging, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. I know that's a long reading, but an important reading. Amen. I wonder. What can I say? The Old Testament, with its law and works, had far outstripped the faith emphasized in the New Covenant. The writer of Hebrews shows us how faith had always been the only true communication between a sovereign creator and his sinful human image. I want you to turn with me now, and we'll close here just a minute, to the book of Galatians, which we've been studying with Randy for quite a while. The third chapter of Galatians, And I want to read verses 27 and 28. And I wonder if you can hear it with new ears. Hear it with new ears. 27 and 28, chapter 3. For as many of you, for as many of you, all inclusive now, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Understand this. You are now clothed in Christ. You have put on Christ. You are representing Christ. You are Christ in the flesh to the lost around you. There is neither Jew, as the old covenant, nor Greek. Who's the Greek? The heathen. The unbeliever. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one. Amen? Can we wrap our minds around that? I have a difficult time myself. I have a difficult time myself, but there it is. There it is. There we have it. There is the answer to what kind of Baptist I am. I am a Christian Baptist. I am simply a Christian. I am one with all who have faith in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone for their eternal salvation from sin. Not my choice. God's. Amen? No wonder they fell at his feet. These elders, these church leaders, these great preachers of the past. I see Spurgeon. I see Calvin. I see Luther at the feet of God. Crowns won fairly and squarely. We know the background of these men at the feet of the Creator. What a picture. What a picture. There we have it. How confusing this must be to so many of the ignorant. There's the word. The ignorant lost. As Paul says of the true Christian faith, of course, in the vernacular of the church today, I'm referred to as being a Reformed Baptist. That's what they call guys like us. Oh, they're Reformed Baptists. They don't want to say Calvinist because that's hyper-Calvinism and that's good. Oh, there's another variation of Calvinism. That's interesting in itself. I have discovered that at last count, I believe, there may be, my brother BJ probably knows more about this than I do, but the best I could find out, there are over 30 types and shades of Baptists listed. What kind are you, preacher? You know, and this is almost amusing in a cynical way, you know. But something to think about. So we have so many types and shades. Add to that other major and minor denominations, the cults, the offshoots that claim to be Christian, plus the out-and-out false religions of our day, what but confusion and doubt and disinterest can be expected of our lost friends and loved ones? You agree? I conclude with this. Calvin and Luther, my heroes, I confess. Calvin and Luther, all those who promoted the return to the faith once delivered to the saints, did not stumble on something new and different. They went back to the old way. We think of Reformed as new, or Reformed, now they've come out. No, they didn't come out of something and create something new. They went back to something.
That's right.
It makes you stop and think. Nothing was reformed. It was simply returned to. Now I'm not going to quit calling myself a reformed preacher. See, that's not the crux of what I'm talking about. I'm talking about us to get away from this idea and realize these lost people are ignorant of the truth, just as Paul addressed the church at Rome. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed to call myself a follower of Jesus Christ. I am a Christian. How do you become a Christian? Well, now we go to John 3. Here we go to the basic principles of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am a Christian who happened to have been called by God to preach the faith which was once delivered by God himself unto the saints. The lost are not supposed to see the Reformed or the Calvinist or the Baptist in me. They are supposed to see the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The difference, the fact that I am a born-again child of God. The fact that you and I are Christians.